News, sports, AccuWeather, and more. Wake up with the information you need on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, website aisleseat.com. His appearance always sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg. He brings us a movie review, John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum.
In John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum, Keanu Reeves has a $14 million bounty on his head, and professional assassins everywhere are out to collect it. There may be a way for him to save himself, but first he has to survive long enough to put the plan into place. Halle Berry plays an old friend and fellow dog lover who helps him out. It would not be accurate to say that John Wick 3 is 130 minutes of Keanu Reeves shooting people in the face. Sometimes he stabs them in the face instead. These movies are all excessively violent, but this one takes the violence to creative new levels. It's impressive how it finds original ways to stage action. One scene finds Reeves riding a horse through New York City and simultaneously fending off bad guys. It's almost as awesome as the scene where he fights assailants with a machete while riding a speeding motorcycle. Aside from raising the bar on action sequences, John Wick 3 continues to build the intricate crime world in which its character exists. Part of the fun of these films is that each new entry adds layers to what has come before. Of course, there's no larger meaning here. The film is just intended to be an adrenaline jolt. And that's okay, because Keanu's great and the nonstop action is mind-blowing. John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum is the best entry in the series yet. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 bulletproof vests.
Oh, I thought you were headed for a 3.5 there. You speak favorably of this. Oh my gosh. So much to talk about these films, I think. First of all, a guilty pleasure for a lot of people. They're ultra-violent.
They're very violent. You have to have a stomach for that and a taste for it. The movies are somewhat done, I don't want to say tongue-in-cheek, because that's not quite the right word, but they're self-knowing. You know, the way the violence is handled is intentionally over the top, and they intentionally exaggerate things, and that makes it kind of fun, like I said, if you have a stomach for such things.
All right, and Keanu Reeves. They could have cast no one who could pull this off the way he did.
Yeah, he's just really good. And I recently wrote an article for one of my freelance outlets, Ranker, on why Keanu Reeves is a better actor than he gets credit for. And this movie is a great example, and this character, which he's now done in 3 films, because he just really brings something special to it. He kind of has a reputation. People say Keanu Reeves, and they think of being spacey, and, you know, because that was what a lot of his earlier roles were, Bill and Ted and Parenthood and things like that. But he's actually a really, really smart guy, and he brings that sort of quiet intelligence to the John Wick character. And at the same time, Keanu Reeves is actually trained in martial arts, and so he's able to do about 90% of his own stunts in these films and his own fighting. So you really get to enjoy longer takes where you see that it's really him, as opposed to a lot of action movies these days that are, you know, very, very choppy editing to hide the fact that the close-ups are of the star and the action is from the stunt double. So I think that makes him a unique choice to play John Wick.
Has he revived the action genre? I mean, I think of the Ocean's movie, you know, Ocean's 11 and all that sort of thing, as being action movies that were popular, but I can't name another real action movie that was super popular lately, except these.
Of this type, yeah, the Mission Impossible movies have been pretty popular, but this is more of a throwback. You know, when I was growing up as a teenager in the 1980s, we had Arnold Schwarzenegger, and we had Sylvester Stallone, and Bruce Willis, and Chuck Norris, and Steven Seagal, and those guys made violent R-rated action pictures, and over the years, that's kind of waned, and we do get things like Mission Impossible, which has some violence, but it's rated PG-13, and it's not that hardcore kind of violence that we used to see in the 80s. So I think in that sense, yes, John Wick is bringing that kind of action film back. We haven't seen a lot of that in recent years, and this movie is showing that there's still an audience for it.
Is there, without being any kind of spoiler, is there a Chapter 4 down the road for this?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And one of the things I like, when I saw John Wick Chapter 2, I loved the way that it ended, because it set up such a fascinating starting point for the third movie, and this third movie now does the same thing for a fourth movie. The way it ends makes you really, really eager to see what's going to happen next and how they're going, or what direction they're going to go with the last scene in this movie.
Well, that's noteworthy, because other films sometimes, and I can't remember the name of them, but anyway, they sometimes, it's clear that you're just watching a chapter and you don't feel satisfied because you only saw a sliver of what you're going to see. But these stand alone. If you never see the next one, you'll still feel as though you saw something noteworthy.
Absolutely. They catch you up to speed very quickly. And like I said, there's not a whole lot of plot in these movies. So there's not a lot that you even need to be caught up on. It's just a pretty simple premise. And then you sit back and you enjoy the action and you enjoy the way that characters are introduced or new scenarios are introduced. But yeah, each one of them is kind of satisfying on its own. But then when you watch them together as a series, I think it's getting better and better.
All right. So fabulous martial arts, fighting and so on. I saw the trailer and it looks, you know, just very, like you said, original.
Yeah.
Original action.
Yeah. Yeah. Very creative in the way they stage it.
Three
bulletproof vests.
Oh, okay.
Which John Wick's adversaries would benefit from having.
Right. And he never uses,
right,
as I recall. Maybe he could use one once in a while. All right. So that is that. Three. And that's John Wick 3. Parabellum?
Parabellum,
I hear that word relates to 9mm guns sometimes. What is that about?
Yeah, it's a type of gun. It sounds Latin. I believe there might be a Latin meaning for it, prepare for war or something, because one of the characters uses the word in the film.
Okay, all right.
I didn't take Latin in school. They didn't offer it, but I suspect there's probably another meaning to that word.
Give us something to look up later.
Yeah, but it definitely is gun-related,
we'll
which is appropriate.
New films that are out this weekend.
Yeah, we have three this weekend, starting with Disney's live-action remake of Aladdin. Will Smith playing the genie this time. Late Robin Williams, of course, did that so memorably in the original animated Aladdin. We've got Booksmart, which is a comedy in which two teenage girls are about to graduate from high school, and they realize that they spent the last 4 years studying and working hard, and they should have had more fun, so they decide to cram 4 years of fun into one night. This movie marks the directorial debut of actress Olivia Wilde, who people know from House and Tron Legacy and so many other things. And finally, we've got a movie that is just so intriguing to me, the premise. It's called Brightburn. And you know the whole Superman story about how the alien baby was put in a ship and sent to Earth, and he crash-landed in a field, and there was a farm couple there that adopted him and raised him as their own. Well, this movie takes that same idea, but instead of being a force of good, it says, what if that alien baby was really, really evil?
Oh, okay. And you'll see that today. I see that all over your face.
I already have my plans to be there for that. Absolutely.
You have some zeal showing today. All right. So those are the new movies. So we'll look for Brightburn on aisleseat.com later today.
Yes.
Entertainment news. I think it was global news that Daniel Craig hurt his leg.
Yeah, Daniel Craig injured himself doing some action for the next James Bond movie. Bad news for him, he has to have some ankle surgery. The good news for the production is that it was not a major injury, and they don't have to stop filming. They're just going to film around him until he is recuperated. A lot of times, if your main star gets injured during the course of the film and has to have surgery, they have to shut everything down for weeks or months, pick it back up. In this case, the surgery is apparently relatively minor, and Daniel Craig should be on the mend soon. But yeah, he did hurt himself filming Bond 25.
Yeah, it's interesting. I guess that's part of the top-of-the-mind nature of James Bond in 007, is that it was reported. I mean, we saw clippings on Reuters coming back, and lots of people talking about this particular injury. Natalie Portman versus Moby. Now, this is an interesting little argument.
Who doesn't love a celebrity feud? And boy, we got one going on right now. Moby, the popular techno musician, released an autobiography, and in it he talks about dating actress Natalie Portman. He says that he was, I believe, 34 and she was 20. Well, Natalie Portman came out publicly and said, hold on a minute, Moby. First of all, we never dated. Second of all, I was 18, and she described him as an older man who was interested in her inappropriately. And so now they have this back and forth going. Moby's on Instagram saying, you know, this isn't true. I have pictures of us together. Natalie Portman saying, I never dated this guy. I felt uncomfortable around him. So I don't know how all this is going to pan out, but it's certainly a very fascinating celebrity feud. But again, it also speaks to a much more important issue, which is the whole Me Too movement and the way that men treat women, and whether or not men are aware of the fact that they're making women uncomfortable sometimes. sometimes and how they need to learn to be more in tune with that.
Sure, and how much, what is perception and reality?
Yeah.
You know, what just because the man says it's this way, was it? And what's the other side of that? And Dan Aykroyd is losing it or faking it? What do you think?
Well, Dan Aykroyd gave an interview recently to, I believe it was a British paper or a British outlet, where he said that he believes aliens are already living among us on Earth and that they want to mate with human women. Now, Dan Aykroyd has a very long history of being a believer in UFOs and aliens and the paranormal, and this is not the first time he's spoken publicly about these things, but it's just kind of interesting, and I have to say, I am a longtime hardcore Dan Aykroyd fan, and I unironically love the fact that the man is crazy. You know, I just love that about him. It's this very nature that brought us the genius of Ghostbusters and so many other things that he's done. But it's just kind of funny. He thinks that aliens are here and that they want to reproduce with women. So kudos to you, Dan Aykroyd, for having the guts to come out and say that, even if the rest of us might kind of snicker a little bit.
Thinking of that. Okay. We'll give him credit for that. Movie Mike McGranahan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. And we thank the Campus Theater at Lewisburg for sponsoring, and you can read everything he's talking about at aisleseat.com or find it out a little bit ahead of time by following him on Twitter, as I do, at aisleseat.